Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this 30-part series on my book, Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision, Unleash Your Team's Potential. And remember, this series is for people who are already a formal authority leader, team leader, supervisor, manager, superintendent, any level, really. Or those aspiring to lead others who want to climb up the corporate ladder and the pay scale, so to speak. So today we're on part 8 or chapter 8 from the book. And again, I hope you're following along in the book or have already read the book, and this is some bonus content. But either way, I'm just talking all unscripted, off the cuff, about some of the points in the book, adding some to it and leaving out quite a bit and just switching it up, kind of give you some extra content. So today, chapter 8 is titled First Impressions Count. First Impressions Count. And then the subtitle of this chapter, ask a question. And the question is your intention to serve or be served? And you can think about that. Some people get tangled up about the word serve. They all, whatever about the word. It can mean help. You could switch it out and say, is your intention to help or be helped as a leader? Is your intention to help your team or to have your team help you? Is your intention to help your team climb to the next level and beyond? Or is your intention to have your team help you climb to the next level and beyond? Ultimately, it should work both ways, but I'm talking to you, not your team. What's your intention? Their intention, if they read Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Line, that book is full of how to get them to help you as a leader. It's how to get them to do this same principle, but from a point of entry-level, frontline worker. To help them learn how to climb to the next level is by helping others climb to the next level. Because if you get a team doing what's in the Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines book, if you get a team living that, they're going to launch you, but they're also going to launch themselves. And that's what this now is from a leader's perspective. Today I'm talking about it. If you help your team, if you serve your team, you help them climb to the next level and beyond, you're going to climb to the next level and beyond. But if you just worried about you, they're going to produce like they report to somebody who's just worried about them. Not very well. They'll do the bare minimum. So my friend Amir Gannad, and I have a lot of respect for Amir. He's an amazing individual. But I actually met him through LinkedIn because he actually saw a post I put when I first released Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines, the other book, the one that's for the frontline entry-level workforce for growing and developing them. And he made a comment and on a post I had put on there about that book, and ended up I sent him a book. And he read it, and he and I have become friends now. But Amir, at the time, he's rewired, as he called it now, meaning he retired, but he don't like to call it retired. He just rewired. But at the time I met him, he was the basically the leadership development guru at the top, reporting to one of the three presidents of Campbell Soup and $8 billion Campbell Soup. And he was responsible for leadership development at all levels internationally for Campbell Soup. That's who Amir was at the time I met him. Now he's out speaking, and he's got a great book called The Transformative Leader. And you might want to add that one to your reading list. And I believe he just had it come out on audio as well. He's got a podcast and all that sort of stuff. So you could look him up. The way you spell his name is Amirghad. N-N-A-D. And actually, Amir and I and Rhea, we were at Yale University back in October of 2018. And all of us were able to speak there at the same time. So that was pretty cool. We figured out how to leverage our influence, and we got invited to speak. Rhea and I did. And I talked to the folks. I said, hey, you need to get Amir to come up here and let him speak on his topic and his subject. And they ended up talking to Amir and got Amir to join us up there. So Rhea and I got to speak for an hour at Yale University School of Management. And actually, Amir spoke first. He was the opening act and kind of set the stage for an hour. And then Rhea and I got to follow. So that was a pretty cool experience with Amir. But I want to tell you what Amir says. This is a quote from his The Transformative Leader book, actually. So what Amir says, having the tenacity to lead and the humility to serve are the key ingredients of transformative leadership. Having the tenacity to lead and the humility to serve are the key ingredients of transformative leadership. Powerful statement. That's what this is about. This first impressions chapter is beginning to look at really the foundational. As we move into this book, we get really more into the leading part of it and the foundations of how do I become a high impact leader. The first, you know, six chapters, really kind of warming up and talking about general stuff. But now we're getting into the how do you actually do it? What choices do you need to make to become a high impact leader who's going to unleash your team's potential? That's the subtitle of this book. That's what I'm trying to help you do. Because if you unleash your team's potential, I'm telling you, you're unleashing your own at the same time. Because people who can unleash a team's potential, who can accomplish a lot with and through others, are the most valuable people. Not the ones who can go out and command and control and be a dictator and all their people hate them, the majority of them. They don't like coming to work there. They're frustrated. They moan, groan, and whine at break and lunch and when they're at home and out in the community and giving the organization a bad word-of-mouth advertisement so they can't attract good talent. That's what low-impact managers of people, they create that environment. You want to move so far beyond that, you can't even see it anymore. And you're going to get amazing opportunities because you can only manage a few people that way, command and control, telling them what to do. But you can unleash thousands and thousands of people. You can lead unlimited number of people, but you can only manage a few. The greater your leadership ability, the more you can lead. But managing, it doesn't matter how good of a manager of people you are, you can only manage so many people well. And even then, it's not well for them, it's just well for you as a manager. So it kind of gets complicated. So when it comes to leadership and first impressions, others want to know three things about you. You can validate this because you want to know this about your leader. Whether you've actually thought about it or not, you already want to know this. So when you look up at your leader in the org chart, you're asking these questions, whether you realize it or not. And when you look down on the org chart at those reporting to you, they're looking up asking these same questions. And depending on the answer determines how productive they are a lot of times. It determines if they come back tomorrow or not. It determines if they hand in their two-week notice anytime soon. So what are these three things? First one is, can I trust you? People want to know if they can truly trust their leader. The second thing, they want to know, can you help me? The third thing is, do I matter to you? And you want to know these about your leader. Can you trust your leader? What if you can't? What's that do for the relationship? If you can't trust your leader, you either wishing you had another job or you looking for another job. Can you help me? You asking about your leader. Can your leader help you? What that means is help me accomplish the mission. Whatever my mission here at work is, can the leader help me? Can the leader help me have a better life? Can a leader help me climb to the next level and beyond? I want a better life just like the leader wants a better life. Is that leader in a position to help me? Is that leader willing to help me? You want to know it about your boss? The folks who work and report to you, who work on your team, who report to you, they want to know it about you. And then, do I matter to you? There's so many people who report to a leader. The people know it because they feel it. They're just arms and legs trying to accomplish the mission, so the leader can get credit for making it happen. Those people don't feel like they matter. I ask leaders so often, I ask this question, and it's, to me, it's ridiculous. I can't even comprehend it. I'll say, how many people on your team? I think 20, 22. I'm thinking 20 or 22. You ought to know every person on your team. You ought to know their spouse's name. You ought to know their children's name. You don't even know how many are on your teams, what I'm thinking. I don't say it. I'm thinking this person does not even understand what they're conveying to me about who they are as a leader. But that's what they do. People are just part of the machine to that type of a manager of people, or a low impact leader, depending on your word. If you've got a team, know how many people are on the team. Learn their names. Talk to them. Talk to them when there's not a problem. Talk to them when you're not having to give them directions. Go out and ask them questions. Learn about them. Learn how they think. But see, the stuff I'm talking about in this 30-part series, a manager can't just do it. They don't think this way. They don't have this type of mindset. That's why I'm trying to help anybody listening. It doesn't matter if you already have this mindset or if you ain't never considered this mindset. You still are always under construction. You're going to always be developing this type of mindset. All my content is helping any person at any level in any industry. They don't have to be blue collar. White collar executives can listen to this stuff and learn from it. It doesn't matter if they're a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. The majority of those people are high-impact managers. They're low-impact leaders, but they're high-impact managers. They can manage well and dictate well and control well, and that's how they got to the top. But what are they leaving on the table? What impact could they be making on this world? But a lot of them want what a lot of other leaders want. They just want a bigger check at the end of the week. They want a bigger payday. They want a cooler house, cooler car, and a cooler office, and a bigger title. And if that's what you're searching for, you're in the management business. But I'm telling you, you can get all that stuff in the leadership business. But when you're in the leadership business, you're helping other people get the same stuff. Everybody wins. All right? So by choosing to serve others, my tongue got tangled up there. Y'all have to forgive me. I have a problem with that sometimes. My mind goes faster than my mouth. So by choosing to serve others, high-impact leaders answer these questions that I just asked with action. By choosing to serve, help, whichever word you want to use, others know they can trust you. Others know you can and will help them. Maybe that you are helping them. That's what they really need to see. And they know they matter because of your actions, not the words that come out of your mouth. Your actions. So servant leaders, sticking with that theme, servant leaders are strong and secure, not weak and insecure. Servant leaders are strong and secure. Think about the Sherpas over at Mount Everest that take the climbers to the top of Mount Everest. Over and over and over. A lot of the climbers, they've never been. They only go once. But the Sherpas, they've been over and over and over. They don't even really get any credit. I mean, it's like nothing for them. They over there, it's like a job. They do it every day, round and round and round. Somebody comes over once and has these other folks take them to the top. And then they stand up there like they're the man. And I'm telling you, they've accomplished something to go do it. Don't get me wrong. But the Sherpas, they just hanging out over to the side, waiting to do it again tomorrow. seldom do those people who are standing up there with a fist in the air, do they go back down and help others to the top. They worried about getting to the top themselves. The Sherpas, they over there helping people nonstop. Those folks are not weak. They're strong. When you go back down the mountain and help somebody else climb the mountain because you already know how to do it, they know they can trust you. They know you want to help them, and they know they matter. People who go down the mountain and help others climb up the mountain are not weak and insecure. They're strong and secure. Don't listen to the junk you hear out there in the world. Servant leadership or high impact leadership simply means your mission is to help other people succeed. There's nothing weak about that. The one thing you need to know about me when I'm talking about this servant leadership and helping, all this kind of stuff, I want you to know I'm not a softy. And I say this because I've heard so many whine and moan and groan that servant leadership is a weak way to lead. And they say, you don't understand. You don't understand, Mac. That stuff won't work here. We're different. We're different. And often, the military veterans are often the worst ones about it. They're most often the worst ones about it, and they get the loudest about it. And what they say is, we need more command and control. People just need to do what they're told to do, and everything else will run smoothly. Well, there's no law out here that says this is weak leadership. In the civilian world, there's no command and control. If somebody don't like the way you lead, they won't be back tomorrow if they have options. I was in the Marines. I was in the infantry. I know all about this stuff. I'm not a softy, I promise you. And what I know, though, is it doesn't matter whether I was in the Marines or if I was on the front lines in manufacturing, I was working my way up the corporate ladder in the management positions. What I know is the people I could trust, the people who wanted to help me, those who let me know I matter, those are the ones who I respected the most and who I was willing to do the most for. So what is always interesting to me is this. The same people that say servant leadership is a weak leadership model prefer to work with a secure servant leader instead of for a dictating, insecure manager. So it's good enough for them, but it's not good enough for their team. So they prefer it when looking up at their boss, they want to see a servant leader. But they don't want their team to see a servant leader when they look up at them. A lot of these folks that I'm talking about, those that whine and moan, groan, all that stuff. That's the weak stuff, by the way. People who whine, moan, and groan, that's weak. Secure people with strength, they go make stuff happen. They ain't into moaning, groaning, and whining, and complaining. So be careful who you listen to out there in the world. So why is that, though? They want to see servant leadership. They want to report to a servant leader, but they don't want to be a servant leader when it comes to their team looking up at them. Why is that? I'm going to tell you right here, pretty simple. Because becoming a high-impact servant leader takes a lot of internal work. It takes a lot of internal work. It takes zero internal work to be a dictator, to operate out of command and control. And in the military, it's easy. They train the leader how to command and control. They train the follower how to be commanded and control. And then they got a set of rules and a legal system in there. If you don't follow, there's punishment. There's all this kind of stuff. You can't just walk out the next. There's a lot of stuff. And believe me, it has to work that way to accomplish the mission. But there's still a higher level. The best leaders in the military are the ones who lead like I'm teaching you now. They still can lead like this within that system, but they don't have to. But those who choose to only manage within that system, when they get in the civilian world, they're frustrated because we need to just make people do what they're told. Because that's the world they come from. Everybody has to do what they're told or they get in trouble. And that don't work in the civilian world. So it takes actually a higher level of leadership to actually lead in the civilian world, because all you have is the artificial influence. Same way with the military, artificial influence that comes with the with your rank and with the law that's standing behind you to force people to follow. In a civilian world, nobody has to follow. They can walk right out the door. So the "it's weak" comments are an excuse people make because they don't want to do the character work required to transform themselves and their leadership style. Doing that work on yourself is not easy. It's hard, but it's always worth it. And there's two books from the military. Sometimes when I get some of these veterans in the groups I'm speaking to, especially when I'm on site and they're smaller groups and there's a lot of interaction, and I see it in some of these veterans. And I'm telling you, I ain't beating up the veterans. Our veterans are who we need to help transform this world. But what they have to understand, if you're one of them, you've got to leave all that command control junk behind. If you try to take that in the civilian world, you're going to flop all over the place. And if you're still in the military, learn to lead like this, and you'll climb like a rocket while in the military. But to come out here in the civilian world, you've got to learn to be a high-impact leader if you want to be a high-impact person. And most military people are driven. And I'm telling you, I need the military veterans' help. I need anybody's help who wants to learn to lead like this. But there's a lot of core principles that are ingrained in our veterans, in our military folks, that will serve them well if they marry it with this type of leadership character. So there's two books. When the military veterans in the group start moaning, groaning, whining about we need more command and control, people just need to do what they're told and everything be right with the world and blah, blah, blah. There's two books that I love. One of them's called It's Your Ship by Captain Michael Abershaw. He took over the worst missile destroyer in the Navy relative to, you know, how they're measured, their metrics. In 2 years, they were the best. They went from worst to first because of the kind of leadership I'm talking about. They had a dictator before, I'm sure. That's why they were the worst, who focused only on the command and control. And then Captain Abershaw come in, and he told them, it's your ship. And he showed them, it's your ship. And he led them. The other book is called Turn the Ship Around, and it's by Captain David Marquette, and he was the captain took over a nuclear submarine. Same scenario. It was worst in his class. 2 years later, it was first in his class. In both of those books, and they got the results in the same exact way, but they stepped on board the ship as a commanding officer in two different ways. One of them stepped on. Captain Abershaw stepped on his ship, the missile destroyer, as a high-impact leader, knew what to do. Captain Marquette stepped onto the nuclear submarine as a high-impact manager and thought he knew what to do. But he quickly found out he didn't know what to do. And throughout that 2 year period, he had enough humility to realize, I got to lead a different way or I'm going to get people killed. And so he tells his story of having to learn how to do this. Both of those books are outstanding. Both of them, basically the same crew, went from worst to first. They didn't get to take over and then fire everybody and hire new people. It don't work like that in the military. There's a small turnover as people are coming in and going, and you know their term's up and some new people come in, but they don't just go change the world with people. They change it with leadership styles. We talked about that a few episodes ago. So think about it. What's first impressions count? Is your intention to serve or be served? Is your intention to motivate or manipulate? See, if your intention is to serve, you're trying to motivate people. If your intention is to be served, you're trying to manipulate people. People don't respond well to manipulation. I'm sure you don't. Neither does anyone else. So I'm going to leave you with a quote today by Deanne Turner. Rhea and I had the privilege of meeting Deanne at the Chick-fil-A headquarters in Atlanta. And she was actually the vice president of talent at the time. She's retired now and speaking and writing books and doing great things, trying to help spread that type of culture to other industries. But Rhea and I had met with her up at the corporate headquarters and had lunch with her. And then I read some of her books and or her books, her first book. So it's pretty cool to get to meet her. Our friend Jimmy Collins, who was the president, COO of Chick-fil-A, he worked there 33 years. He was Truett Cathy's third employee and retired in 2001 when Chick-fil-A reached $1 billion in sales. He's a personal friend and mentor of mine and Rhea's. And he actually referred us to talk to Deanne and made that happen. So that was pretty cool. So this is a quote from Deanne Turner, Vice President of Talent at Chick-fil-A. When she said this, she says, "Without a doubt, one of the most significant factors in Chick-fil-A's cultural sustainability has been its commitment to the principle of servant leadership. We recognize the tremendous responsibility not only to lead, but also to serve those we lead." So again, I hope you're not waiting on me every week. Go get this book. If you've got a team of people, you need to get the Blue Collar Leadership Leading from the Front Lines book as well. And then the Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision Unleash Your Team's Potential book for you. They're on audio, they're on ebook, and they're in paperback. But you need to know what's in both of those books, and then you need to be growing and developing your team using the Blue Collar Leadership book for the frontline folks. Take this stuff to an entirely new level. You're going to become so exceptional so fast, it'll be ridiculous. Doesn't mean next week, but compared to where you're going to go if you never really dive into this stuff at a deep level, it's going to be super fast. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Talk to you next Friday.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.